as the Japanese try and fix Fukushima, there are some big decisions to be made.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There is a push for the Japanese government to take temporary ownership of that badly damaged nuclear power plant. And because the plant's been offline for some time now, the government wants to look at turning off the power to factories for short periods of time. The BBC's Mark Worthington is with us from Tokyo with the latest there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve.
How does the big industry feel about the possibility of having to limit power usage?
Well, interestingly, it's big business itself that's really floated this idea in the very first instance. Right now, many are having to deal with rolling blackouts. They do get advance warning, but it's quite unpredictable, and they're losing power for up to 3 hours at a time, and they're finding that very difficult to cope with.
Do we have any idea if a plan like this would work and how it would affect production?
The idea would be to limit power within a peak period, and it would obviously mean slowing production during that time. But what large factories would tell you would be that would be preferable to a total outage, which means they have to shut down the entire operation.
We're talking about Japan taking the extraordinary step of nationalizing TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, the owner of that nuclear plant at Fukushima. How would that work?
Well, what it would mean would be essentially a rescue by the government of a company who's seen its share price plummet since the disaster. What everyone is saying here, all the authorities, are that the company needs to be able to focus on dealing with the incident in Fukushima, not worrying about its own future. And that would be the idea behind it, to take hold of the company as a temporary measure to help it through this crisis.
And it would be just temporary, right?
That's all we're hearing at the moment, and something that the government doesn't want to dwell on when there's such a pressing crisis.
All right. The BBC's Mark Worthington in Tokyo. Mark, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Another energy company is under fire today, BP. The British oil giant could be hit with manslaughter charges in a rig explosion that killed 11 workers in the Gulf of Mexico last year. The disaster caused the worst oil spill in U.S. history. And if the charges stick, there could be big ramifications. Well, Justin Bloom is a reporter from Bloomberg, and he reported the BP case today. Good morning.
Good morning.
What effect would manslaughter charges have on BP?
Well, if employees of BP who served as managers of the well that ultimately exploded get charged with manslaughter, they could face jail time for each count up to 10 years.
And we're talking, what, 11 people were killed, right, on that rig?
That's right.
What about other companies? Would these charges change the way business is done? Would they try to indemnify themselves?
Well, what's unusual about this is that federal prosecutors typically don't prosecute employees of large corporations, particularly lower-level employees. So if, in fact, the Justice Department moves forward with prosecuting them, some legal analysts think that this could, in fact, send a message to employees of other companies that they could be held accountable.
Now, I know we have this $20 billion fund that BP and the federal government agreed to last year. BP's already paying some of this out to businesses and to people in the Gulf area. Would manslaughter charges open the company up to more lawsuits?
Well, yeah, that's totally separate from what the Justice Department is now investigating. The Justice Department has a criminal and civil investigation going on that some legal analysts say could ultimately result in penalties to BP and the other companies involved of more than $1 billion.
All right. Justin Bloom, reporter for Bloomberg in Washington. Justin, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, up more than 0.5%. The Dow up 57 points at 12,255. The FDIC is deciding today whether to allow banks to sell more of their mortgage securities if the buyers of those mortgages made at least a 20% down payment. Average home prices in the biggest American cities were down to lows not seen in more than a decade. That's according to the latest S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index. And the Conference Board reported today consumer confidence fell because of rising food and gas prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
Later this week in Washington, experts from the Food and Drug Administration will decide whether to look more closely at a possible link between artificial food dyes and child hyperactivity. Now, the food coloring has been around for a while, helping make foods look more appetizing. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Yellow number 5, red number 40, and blue number 1. They're just some of the synthetic colors in many snack foods and candy. And now the Food and Drug Administration is reconsidering its long-held policy that the dyes are not a health risk. An FDA advisory panel will consider evidence of a possible link between food coloring and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in some children. Food manufacturers say the dyes have been thoroughly tested for safety, and there's no evidence artificial colors cause hyperactivity or learning disabilities in children. Public health groups, like the Center for Science in the Public Interest, want the FDA to ban artificial coloring. Michael Jacobson is the center's director.
They pose a risk. There's no health benefit whatsoever from dyes, and they should simply be eliminated from the food supply. There are plenty of natural colorings that could be used in their place.
The FDA could require warning labels on foods with the dyes. The worry isn't new. In the 1970s, a California allergist claimed hyperactive children improved when dyes were reduced in their diets. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, the British government is taking bids for one of its decommissioned aircraft carriers, a way to make a little money in these budget-slashing days. Bidders on the ship are being asked to announce what they would do with it upon purchase. So what would you do with an aircraft carrier? You can share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. I took some of the these from the website earlier this morning. Here are some of the answers we've gotten so far. New York City's 6th borough, a go-kart track or a skateboard park for wealthy children, scrap metal. Ah. Again, marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter, at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
I'm sure you grew up being told to resist peer pressure, but it's not always a bad thing.
They try and get people to change their behavior, not by appealing to fear, but by giving them a new peer group to identify with.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Call it social pressure instead. See if that's better. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.